Oh shit, I'm live. Yeah. this is the first ever live broadcast of the Span Report podcast, and of course I am your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 36 of the report. Excuse me while I pour myself a drink, okay? Because of course, with this being the first time I've done this live, man, there's some things about this Google Plus thing I really got to get a hang of, or especially with this Hangouts thing. It's some things I got to get a hang of as far as sending the link out. I've been having troubles getting the link sent out to everybody to watch this live on YouTube. I can't figure this out for whatever the fuck reason. I don't know. But I've been having trouble with that. But if you're here and you're listening, man, welcome. Welcome to the first ever live broadcast of the Span Report podcast. And yeah, man, I've been gone couple weeks. I haven't put out a podcast in a couple weeks, and there's been a lot of things that's been going on the last couple weeks. I know that Jonathan Martin was somewhat vindicated in his whole bullying, the case with the Miami Dolphins and the bullying scandal, everything that was going on with that. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. Michael Sam became the first openly gay active football player, and he could be the first actively professional gay football player. So let me talk a little bit about that. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about these memes, man. Like, I know a lot of you, because it's Black History Month, a lot of us have seen these Black History memes, you know, about the first Black person to do X, Y, and Z, and a lot of people are finding themselves either laughing at them or finding them very offensive. I'm one of those people that find them kind of funny, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about that. And yeah, man, outside of that, I got some Gas Man Chronicles to share with y'all, man. Some shit that happened while I was at work, and the shit was quite funny, so I'm gonna share that with y'all. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna go ahead and get right into that as we speak. If you want to send any, I wouldn't necessarily say feedback, but if you want to participate with me here live, man, there's a question and answer portion set up here, so you can send all of your questions, and I'll respond to those as we're recording here live. I'm gonna do the whole live bit. Let's see how this shit works out. All right. I'm at work, and it's it was funny, man. Like, you always hear about people who have they become tax time ballers, I guess you can say that. You know, this is about the time of the year where folks have they've gotten their income tax refunds and whatnot, and they go and they buy some things that they've had their eye on for quite some time, you know, whether that be TVs, whether that be cars, whether that be video game systems, whether it be clothes, whether it be catching up on bills. There's a whole lot of things people wait to do when it comes time to getting the tax refund. So I'm at work, and I'm working hard. You know, I'm in this basement doing a fuel line. I'm connecting the gas meter outside to the gas lines on the inside of the home. So I'm tearing down the old manifold, tearing down the old assembly and everything, and I'm putting everything back together so that I can relight the appliances and whatnot. And when I got to this house, you know, the guy there who let me in, he had just got him an Xbox One, and I think it was like maybe a 55-inch TV. He just bought himself a TV and an Xbox One, and he was playing Rise, I believe, when I walked past the television. So my man was upstairs getting it in while I was downstairs, working on the gas lines and whatnot. And so, I'm not thinking anything of it. It's pretty common for me to go into folks' homes, and, you know, the house might not look great, but they got, you know, nice electronics. You know, they got the TVs and they got the game consoles and whatnot. So, I mean, it was nothing uncommon for me to see. But apparently, old boy's girl wasn't too happy. Wasn't too happy about the purchase of the Xbox One or the purchase of the new TV. And as a matter of fact, when she came home, that shit was brand new to the point where she didn't even know it was at her home. And when she showed up, she walked in the door like, "What the fuck is this?" So, and I can hear everything from where I'm at in the basement. So she's like, man, what the fuck is this? And, you know, guy told her, he's like, yeah, babe, I caught this. I got that Xbox One and the TV. He's like, I got the TV for only like $700. And, of course, she didn't seem too happy about it. And, you know, if she was happy about it, she wouldn't have been so upset when she walked through the door and said, what the fuck is this? But apparently they were behind in some bills. Okay. They were behind in the, electric bill. And of course, you know, they were a little bit behind in their rent also. And, you know, so she's going off on him about why he would spend the money, on an Xbox and a television, knowing that they were behind in the rent and in the electric bill. Apparently the lights were in shut off mode. Now I work for the gas company. So whatever they were doing, it had nothing to do with what I was there to do. I was just there to work on the gas meter and everything else. But, yeah, so he's going back and forth. They're arguing back and forth, and I'm waiting. I'm just waiting on this dude to say, babe, I got money put up. Don't worry about it. We good. No. No. My man had all of this money. He had took all of his income tax money, and he spent it on an Xbox One and a television. And, I mean, of course, you hear about this type of shit all the time. I've never witnessed it live in the flesh. I've never witnessed it personally. I always thought this was stuff that people said, you know what I mean? Like, you know, people talk about folks being, you know, being income tax ballers and buying things, you know, that are normally out of the means and stuff like that. And I always like, you know, man, people get what they want when, you know, when they get the money to do so. I mean, of course he had of course he had his eye on this shit for quite a while. So, you know, but old girl went so far as to toss my man out. She kicked my man out of the house, told him to take the Xbox One with him and the television with him. So now my man is homeless with an Xbox One and a television. And, yeah. Yeah. And I'm assuming if, you know, of course, I wasn't there after that. You know, she might have let him back home and everything else. But I always wondered, man, like how, you know, I always thought that was just some shit that folks said. Like, you know, people buying things without their means and whatnot. But, you know, to witness that live in the flesh was like surreal. It was so fucking surreal that when I came upstairs to relight their stove and to, you know, adjust the thermostat so that I could make sure that their furnace was working, they didn't even notice I was upstairs. They didn't even notice me. They were so enthralled in this argument. And so it was just weird, man. It was just weird being in that place, man. It was just one of the things that I see all the time. I see all the time when I'm at work, man. I always see something crazy when I'm at work. And that was just one of those things that I witnessed while performing my work duties or whatnot. But, you know, not only that, man, of course, with the, you know, working with the gas meters and stuff like that. And I live in Michigan. So, you know, we're dealing with a lot of snow. We're dealing with a lot of cold weather. And, yo, I'm out there working in the weather, working in the snow, working in the cold, man. And, you know, when I see what's going on in the South with, say, Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and then I think Raleigh a few days ago, as a matter of fact, you know, dealing with a few inches. Well, that was a pretty big storm that just hit a couple days ago. But like to hear stories about, you know, what happened in Atlanta with the 2 inches of snow and it's shutting the fucking city down, and they do have salt trucks and they do have plows and things like that, man. It was just a bit humorous to me to see that a city can be shut down that way when, you know, we pretty much have to keep going as if it's a normal day. I mean, we expect that here in the North because we're used to that type of thing. And I get it. A lot of people down South aren't used to driving in those conditions. They aren't used to being in those type of conditions. But it was, I mean, I still couldn't understand, like, how the fuck does, like, do kids get stuck at school to where they have to spend the night at school? And how do people get stuck at work? And how do people have to abandon their cars because they, you know, whether or not they have the skill to drive in the snow and the ice, or whether or not, you know, I don't know. It was just a bit weird to see that whole shit play out on national television. And, you know, the mayor and the governor of Georgia blaming the blaming the weather people for not allowing them to, or at least saying that they didn't give them proper warning when it came to the weather. And of course, everybody, you can go back and look at the tape and, you know, find out that, yeah, you had 2 days warning to find out, yeah, this is going to happen. And they still let, you know, city still shut down. And that's just some weird shit. It's just some weird shit. Hold on just a second. It's some good shit. I am drinking on right now, and I forgot to tell you guys what this was, but I'm drinking on, I got a little personal bottle of some Cavassier Gold, man. A little personal bottle of some Cavassier Gold. A little free fucking publicity for them, but it's some good drink for me, man. This is real smooth to the point where I'm sitting up here drinking this shit straight. You know, as a matter of fact, me and my aunt, we were drinking this shit when I went home to Chicago. We was sitting up drinking this shit, just knocking them back, talking shit to one another, just knocking them back. But yeah man, this is pretty good. Hold on. All right, now of course, like I said, man, this is the first live broadcast of the Spare Report podcast, man. And right now I'm looking at this screen and it's saying this feature is fucking disabled, and this is the screen for whatever reason. This is supposed to allow any of you guys who are in the say maybe a chat room or whatnot to ask me any questions while I'm while I'm recording. So let me try to figure this here out so that if you have anything to ask me, if you have anything to say, you can go ahead and do that. Now, for those of you who are going to listen to this podcast later, there are quite a few ways you can get at me here at the Spare Report podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me up on the Spare Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Hit me up on that number. Leave me a voicemail. I respond to those voicemails right here on the show. Also, you can also get me an email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll respond to those emails right here on the show as well. And of course, you can also follow me on Twitter, Mr_Span. It's the same on Instagram, Mr_Span. PSN on my PlayStation Network, because I play on that a lot. You can hit me up at Mr_Span37 on there. So if you want to get on some NBA 2K or something like that, we can roll that way. But now that I got that shit out the way, let's go into my next topic, man. And right now, my next topic is, let me pull this up. I got some notes here. And I got a new phone, man. I'm not one of those guys that like these large screen phones, man. I just got this big ass phone, man. And typically I don't like really large screen phones. I think they kind of retard it. But I do like the fact that this phone has a pretty large fucking battery, and it can pretty much it can maintain with me, because I do a lot of stuff through my phone, man. A lot of stuff, a lot of podcast listening, a lot of video watching, a lot of things going on this phone. Let me pull up my notes real quick. Just a second. All right. Okay. Now, the second topic, man, that I wanted to talk about was these Black History memes, man. These Black History memes. Some people are taking offense to them. And I'm not going to say that I don't necessarily understand why. I do understand why some people may take offense to it. I'm not one of them. Personally, I've made a few myself, so I'm not exactly one of those people that would be mad at them. But yesterday, man, I was having a conversation. I'm having a conversation on Facebook with one of my homies, man. One of my homies, he put up the topic, you know, about whether or not the Black History memes were offensive, whether or not they were disrespectful. And I'm one of those people who doesn't necessarily believe that so, man. And part of the reason why I don't believe that so is because I don't believe that these memes take away in any way the accomplishments of the people who come before, you know, who come before us. I don't think that it diminishes their accomplishments in any way. 99% of the memes that I've seen have been of random folks, like some random pics that somebody found on Google Images or whatever, and they just slapped on first Black person to do X, Y, and Z. Now, of course, you know, my boy, he put up a picture of like, there was a Stevie Wonder meme. And the Stevie Wonder meme said that the first black person to say, "I ain't seen shit," or something like that. And, you know, he took offense to it. But at the same time, you know, one can go back and they can look at, like, say, maybe Saturday Night Live and pull up a video of Eddie Murphy imitating Stevie Wonder. And also, not only that, have a Stevie Wonder participate in a parody about himself on Saturday Night Live. And it's like, well, if you find this offensive, do you also find this meme or do you also find this sketch offensive? Because Stevie Wonder himself participated in it. You know, and it is not to say that, you know, that there aren't some things that go beyond the pale, or some things that are just flat out disrespectful. And of course, you know, everything has nuance to it. So depending on who it's coming from, depending on what, you know, what attitude they may have had, depending on what type of agenda they were, you know, they might be pushing for putting this meme out, you know, a lot of those different things, you know, come into effect when you think about whether or not this could be offensive or not. Now, when I make a meme, I'm not grabbing any pictures of any civil rights leaders or anything like that. And I haven't seen most other people grabbing any pictures or, you know, of images of civil rights leaders and juxtaposing that with something ignorant. Now, of course, like I said, man, people, you know, some people can find it offensive. And that goes to, you know, where your line is as far as being, you know, what you find comical and what you don't. You know, a lot of people have limits as to what they would find, you know, funny, or what they would deem something that you would be able to joke about. So say, for instance, I'm a big fan of Corey Holcomb. Every time Corey Holcomb comes to Detroit, I make sure to go to a Corey Holcomb show. Corey Holcomb is fucking hilarious to me. Every time I go, I'm like, I'm side splitted, you know, I'm laughing, I'm like spilling my drinks and shit. And he always has new jokes every time I see him. I've never seen him, and he doesn't have any new material or anything like that. So I like going to see Corey Holcomb when he comes to Detroit. There's a few comics that I like to go visit or go see when they come to Detroit, but Corey Holcomb's one of my favorites. Okay, now Corey Holcomb does some very raw, some would say misogynistic type material. You know, Corey Holcomb talks about, you know, abortions. You know, a lot of people would think, you know, abortion would be something that you wouldn't joke about. Corey Holcomb talks about abortions all the time in his jokes. You know, he had this one joke, I never forget it. I think he did it during one of the Shaq's All-Star Comedy Jams or something like that during All-Star Weekend. Shout out to All-Star Weekend, because it's All-Star Weekend right now. But Corey Holcomb did this joke where he talked about his girlfriend or some chick that he was dealing with having a miscarriage on the toilet. And he had to pretend as if he was sad that she lost the baby. Now, on the surface of it, that sounds really fucked up. You know what I'm saying? That sounds really fucked up to make a joke about someone having a miscarriage. That sounds really fucked up. But at the same time, you do know that, you know, some people are happy about whether or not, you know, this chick that they're dealing with, she's having a baby or whatnot. He doesn't necessarily want it. He's hoping she loses it because she doesn't want to, you know, she wants to keep it. There's some truth to the joke. Now, not saying it is right, but his delivery is so that it made it funny. You know what I mean? And it goes, I guess, to like maybe satire, you know, it goes into satire and things like that, where we're, you know, with comedy, it makes, you know, it's a way for you to flip things in order to make them funny. I mean, people make jokes about a whole lot of different things, and it's all about where you draw your line as to what you find funny and what you don't. And so I go back to, you know, these memes, man, like some of these memes are very funny. I've laughed at them, I've shared them, I've created some myself. And then there's some memes that, you know, they're uninspired, they're unimaginative, they're not funny. Like the meme about Stevie Wonder, yeah, it wasn't really that funny. I mean, who hasn't made a joke about someone being blind or whatever? Now, and Stevie Wonder jokes have been made about Stevie Wonder being blind for as long as I can remember. You know, Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live in like 82, 83. You know, that shit goes back 31 years. So, you know, these types of things, they aren't new, but it goes to another thing that I think, And another thing that I think a lot of people think is that a lot of folks are just in a rush to be pissed off about something. You know, folks are mad about things all the time. Folks are looking for things to be mad about. I'm one of those people who think being pissed off all the time and looking for things to be pissed off about is a bit exhausting. You know, now, of course, in this, in this discussion, there was this one chick. I don't want to name her here because, you know, she's not here to maybe say defend herself or whatnot. But I was being black checked. And of course, again, man, like I'm fine. And I get black checked all the time now. Maybe something is wrong with me. I don't know, because I get black checked all the fucking time now. I don't know what it is. But, you know, she goes into, you know, the whole thing of, you know, if you know your history, you wouldn't find these things funny. We're the only people who do this to ourselves. White folks don't do this. Jewish folks don't do this and everything else. My thing is this, okay? I'm tired of folks comparing themselves to Jewish folks, white folks, Indian folks, Asian folks, or whatever, okay? 9 times out of 10, you're not friends enough with a lot of these people to find out what it is they share amongst themselves. You're not. You know, and every group of people have things, or they have jokes, they have things that they talk about amongst themselves that they find funny that you weren't privy to. It happens all the time. There are things that even if you were privy to the fact that these are jokes amongst them, that if you tried to participate in it, you would be looked at sideways. It's just how it is. I mean, it goes back to how, you know, with black folks, how we call each other nigga all the time. I know I use nigga a lot. You know, it's not something that I'm particularly proud of, but I know this is a word that I use, and I use it amongst my friends. I use it amongst my family. I use it a lot. Hell, I use it on my podcast all the fucking time. So, you know, but it's one of those things where if somebody who I'm not familiar with, someone who is of a different ethnicity or of a different race, and they come to me with that, and they thought they were familiar with me enough to say that I'm their nigga or some shit like that, yo, I might look at them sideways like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know? And, you know, my whole thing is, I don't necessarily, you know, because to me it seemed like, to me, even though sometimes people want to couch their objections in whether or not you are, whether or not you're learning your history, whether or not you understand the sacrifices that were made for you to be where you are today and everything else. But to me, it sounds as if a lot of folks are just simply worried about what white folks, what Indian folks, what Asian folks. It seems like they're worried about what these people think when they see us. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of, you know, not being able to be myself because, you know, yeah. I'm tired of not being myself because I'm worried about what somebody else is going to fucking think. You know, and that's just where I'm at with it now. Like, I'm to a point in my life where, you know, it gets, you know, I'm just to a point in my life where, like, I'm not so much worried about what motherfuckers are thinking about me. You know, like, I'm going to present you, I'm going to try to present to you the most genuine me. Either you take it and you like it, or you take it and you don't like it, but you're going to at least know that what you get from me is what you got. That's where I'm at with it. And so, you know, worrying about whether or not, you know, these people do this and these people do that. Like, I can't worry about all of that. All I can do is learn. I know who I am. I know who my history is and all of that. I mean, we can go back to, you know, the fact that there's black history made within my own family. I'm not going to plug that shit here now. I'm not going to do that. But knowing your history is one thing, but trying to superimpose that history on something totally unrelated is another. And so I think sometimes, man, people just are a little bit oversensitive. I think we can be oversensitive to a lot of things. And I think that being upset about a lot of these first black person memes is a bit oversensitive, man. That's just where I'm at with it. Of course, you can agree or you can disagree with me. Hit me up in the feedback and we'll talk about it. All right. Now, third thing that I wanted to talk about was Michael Sam, defensive end for the University of Missouri. Shout out to the University of Missouri. I've been there before. Michael Sam came out as a gay man, and he's a gay football player. He's been projected to go, I believe it was between the fourth and fifth rounds of the NFL draft. At least that's where he was projected to go before he came out as gay. And you know, shout out, you know, good job for Michael, you know, for Michael Sam, man. I'm of the thinking that, you know, even though I feel like some of these these announcements could be a bit unnecessary, I'm glad that, you know, he just said, fuck it, this is who I am, and I'm proud to be who I am. Now just let me go out and play football. Because that's what you're drafting me for. You're drafting me to play football. And so for him to come out and for him to be brave enough to do it before he got drafted, because it's one thing to do it before you get drafted and after you get drafted. When you get drafted, you know, they have, I guess, certain salary slots depending on where you get drafted. So if you get drafted at this in the first round, you're scheduled to make X amount of dollars. If you get drafted in the second round, you're scheduled to make X amount of dollars. So he's risking a lot of income by coming out before the NFL draft. He's risking a lot, you know, and then you juxtapose that with what's going on with Jonathan Martin and the bullying scandal that went on with the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, it comes out that, you know, in an investigation that the Dolphins were making a lot of homosexual jokes, you know, throwing around homosexual slurs and everything repeatedly. And to a point where Jonathan Martin wasn't being bullied just by a Richie Incognito. There were a couple other people who were some principals. I can't think of their name right now. I don't have the names in front of me right now. But a couple people, you know, were complicit in the bullying of a Jonathan Martin. And so you have a Michael Sam coming into a situation where he doesn't know what team he's going to go to. He doesn't necessarily know how he's going to be received. I mean, publicly, everybody can come out and say, yeah, we're going to treat him with the utmost respect. We're drafting, or we're looking for the best football player available in his position, or we're looking for the best player available in our draft slot or whatever. That's what they will say publicly. But behind closed doors, you know, folks will come out and they'll say a lot of things when the cameras aren't in front of them, when the microphones aren't in front of them. They'll say a whole lot of a lot of different things. There have already been stories about certain general managers, certain executives within the NFL for a number of different NFL teams to say that they know, like, Jonathan Martin may not even get drafted. Now, of course, it was smart also of a Michael Sam to come out beforehand, because now if he doesn't get drafted, one of the main things that people are going to point to is the fact that he came out as a gay man as to why he wasn't drafted, because he's a first team All-American defensive end. The fact that he's even, like, only being considered between the fourth and fifth rounds, I thought was a bit funny. You know, fourth and fifth rounds for a top tier All-American defensive player of the year in the SEC, co-defensive player of the SEC, and he's slated for the fourth or fifth rounds. So, you know, I applaud a Michael Sam for doing what he felt was the best thing for him to do. He played football at the University of Michigan. I'm not Michigan, Missouri. I'm sorry. He played football at the University of Missouri. Had a great year at the University of Missouri. His teammates knew about him at the University of Missouri, and they were able to function. You know, a lot of the stereotypes about, you know, gay players and things like that, you know, a lot of people are concerned about, well, I'm a shower, you know, I don't want him showering with me, and I don't want to be this, why I don't want to be that close to him, I don't want to do X, Y, and Z in front of him, you know. And he's, you know, I guess you can say that the University of Missouri and the players on that football team was showing, you know, they showed the world that, yes, this is possible, and nothing strange happened, of course, you know. So, you know, shout out to Michael Sam. And not only that, shout out to the University of Missouri football players, man, for just being straight up, man, just being men and understanding, like, yo, man, this is where he's at with it. And they're cool with that, as everybody should be. I mean, it doesn't affect you in any way, you know. Now, of course, you know, they were talking about, you know, him being a distraction. You know, I think that's a bit of a cop-out. You know, it's only as much of a distraction as you allow it to be. You know, after so long, you know, you can go, and if the media is going to come to whatever NFL team drafts a Michael Sam, the media is going to come, of course, and they're going to ask questions, you know, how does it feel to have the first openly gay football player on your team? They're going to keep doing that. And after a while, if you keep giving them the same answers, they're gonna go, you know, this shit's boring. They're gonna go the fuck away and try to find something else to talk about. And so whatever NFL team drafts a Michael Sam, they have to know how to handle that shit, man. Like, yo, man, he's gonna come here, he's gonna play football, he's gonna fight for his position. If he plays well, he's gonna play ball. If he doesn't, he's gonna sit. And that's basically the only that's the only way I can see it playing out. I mean, the only reasonable way I can see it playing out. I can't understand anybody who would think that he's going to be a distraction as a reason to not draft him. He's only going to be as much of a distraction as you allow that to be. And that takes leadership on not only the veterans of the team, but the coaching staff, but the executives in the front office, the owners. So yeah, man, Michael Sam, dude, do your thing, man. Go out there, play ball. And shit, I hope the fucking Lions draft him. Hell, we need the help. You know, it's talk here in Detroit about the Lions trading away Ndamukong Suh. Now, I'm not necessarily I'm not exactly happy about those prospects, but with the salary cap situation that the Detroit Lions have, man, yo, it might be an option. I mean, I don't know. So and the Lions have been one of those teams that came out and said they support Michael Sam and his decision to come out and the bravery that it took for him to come out and everything else. So, yeah, man, shout out to Michael Sam, man. Do your thing, bro. And I hope you get drafted, man. I do. I hope you get drafted to make a whole hell of a lot of money and shut a lot of these motherfuckers up, man. Real talk. Yeah, what else, man? I got another thing. I talked about Jonathan Martin a bit. I talked about Jonathan Martin and it coming out that he was pretty much vindicated as far as the whole bullying thing with Richie Incognito and whatnot. Now here's the thing, man. Now I know I talked about this before on the podcast. I talked about this in relation to how we deal with things on at my job. You know, there's a lot of things that go out on the out in the field to where, you know, guys have to have a certain temperament, guys have to have a certain mindset, guys have to be I would say mentally strong, because, you know, people are going to try you. People are going to try to find out what it is that they can do to push your button and if you can operate under those conditions. And if you can, they'll respect you a little bit more. And if they don't, if you can't, they're going to ride your ass. So the fact that a Jonathan Martin was, you know, legitimately bullied, I guess to say. I mean, because I guess a lot of folks feel like, you know, he's 6'5 or something, 300 some odd pounds, he should be able to kick some ass and whatnot. But, you know, you're in a work environment. And I think a lot of that, that does get forgotten at the end of the day. I think a lot of that does get forgotten that this man is basically at his place of employment and he's being harassed by teammates or co-workers. He's being harassed by co-workers. And so the fact that, you know, he had to walk away from that position or walk away from his profession and everything else because of the physical threats being made towards him, because of the mental anguish that he was being put through, but by not only a Richie Incognito, but by quite a few players on the Miami Dolphins team. You know, it just goes to show you that he did the right thing. Now, of course, you know, I was one of those folks that said, you know, you're going to have to stand up at some point. Going to the authorities was the right thing. You know, you can't go out here whooping everybody's ass. It's not going to happen. You're not going to do it. And I know a lot of folks were advocating for a Jonathan Martin to just say, fuck it, and whoop some ass. It's not going to happen that way all the time. As grown-ups, you shouldn't want it to happen like that all the time. But for whatever reason, people tend to forget that this man was at his place of employment. Even though his place of football team, he was at his place of employment. He should have had protections on that in the front office to say, look, we're not going to tolerate this type of shit. You know, and that goes not only for just like the front offices, but the coaches too. You know, the coaches should be able to step in and say, ah, shit, what could the coaches step in and say? I don't know. And the only experience that I could really draw off of is being on a high school basketball team. And when, you know, things get kind of heated between teammates, say, for instance, during practice and stuff like that. I mean, I had a situation my senior year. As a matter of fact, this is I stepped away. This is the last basketball game I really played. My senior year, let me tell y'all this shit. My senior year, I'm playing basketball. We were in practice. Now, I was a starting two guard. Or whatever. And I forget exactly what the argument or what the disagreement was about. It was with a guy named Eddie Perkins. Rest in peace to Eddie Perkins, man. But me and Eddie going at it, you know, in practice. Me and Eddie going at it or whatever. And it got to a point in practice where I felt like I was about to put my hands on Eddie. I was about to lay these hands on him, right? And you know, I'm thinking about now if I fuck Eddie up, I'm getting put out of school. I gotta explain this shit to my grandma. I'm living with my grandma, my aunt, and my uncle. My uncle gonna probably get in my ass. And I was like, well, he probably wouldn't be if I whoop his ass. If I whoop this dude ass, I'm going to probably be like, yeah, good job, nephew. But, yeah, but I'm thinking about all of this shit. So I'm to the point where I want to put my hands on him, but I don't. I said, fuck it. And I walked out of practice. All right. Now, when I walked out, coach tells me if I walk out of that door, not to come back. And I'm thinking, my thinking was this. I said, you know what? I already won a state championship my junior year. So I got a championship. Nobody's exactly coming to our basketball games to scout me. So this will probably be the end of my basketball career. I mean, it's not like I'm going to carry this shit into junior college or Division I. I went to Tennessee State. So no, I wasn't going to play ball for them. So I already had scholarships coming my way, not for my basketball ability, but for my intelligence, you know, for my academic, you know, acumen and whatnot. So basketball was just like something I was doing for high school, you know. Pretty much I knew that this was my last year of really playing organized ball right there, my senior year of high school. I knew that was gonna be it, and I just said fuck it. And I didn't walk, like, fuck it, because I'm trying to walk away from a situation to keep from doing something stupid. And that was what I got from my coach. My coach told me if I walked out, not to come back. And I never looked back on it. Like, even when they, I'm not going to lie, when we didn't win the state championship that year, I kind of felt I felt good about that. I'm not going to even lie. Like, well, hell, if y'all had just let me walk out and been a little bit, hell, we probably would have won that state. But that's a bit conceited. But that's just how I was feeling about it, man. So, you know, with Jonathan Martin, man, having to walk away, having to tell his story the way that he did, man, I can understand it. You know, you're not necessarily, like, you can't whoop everybody's ass, man. I think everybody who would advocate, so you might not be just, like, I guess they just, we will have to agree to disagree on that type of shit, man. But yeah, man, I think that's going to be it. Now, if you have any questions for me, or if you want to, you know, hit me up at the Spin Report, let your voice be heard. There's a lot of different ways you can do that, man. You can hit me up at the Spin Hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Hit me up on the hotline, man. Leave me a voicemail message. I'll read those. I'll listen to those voicemails right here on the show, and I'll respond to those voicemail messages right here on the show. Also, hit me up on that email, man. Send me an email at the Spin Podcast. That's the Spin Podcast, all one word, @gmail.com. I'm pretty sure you guys know how to spell spam by this point, because you're watching and you're listening and everything else. So yeah, hit me up at the Spin Podcast @gmail.com. Hit me up with those emails. I'll read those right here on the show and respond to those on the show here as well. Also, hit me up on Instagram, hit me up on Twitter. Those names both are Mr_Span. So hit me up there. And of course, I got my PlayStation Network gamer tag, which is Mr_Span37. So hit me up there. But just now, I just thought about it, and I was getting ready to get out of here before I spoke on it. Michael Dunn was found guilty on like four out of five counts that he was faced with. He was found guilty of, and I think it was a mistrial on the murder charge. They didn't find him guilty on the murder charge, but they did get him on some attempted murder charges, and I forget the rest of the charges, but I did read that right before I started this show that Michael Dunn had been convicted on 4 or 5 charges in relation to the Jordan Davis shooting. Now, of course, if any of you guys have not heard of what was going on with the Jordan Davis shooting, Michael Dunn rolled up on 3 black kids in Florida, where they do have a stand your ground law in place. And he was a bit annoyed with the fact that these kids were playing loud music. And he asked them to turn it down. They turned it down or turned it off or whatever. And Jordan Davis said, no, fuck that. Turn the shit back up. And so from that, it goes from them turning the music up to Jordan Davis supposedly, you know, Michael Dunn said that Jordan Davis said that he was going to kill this motherfucker. Or he was going to kill him and everything else. And he thought he saw the barrel of a shotgun. And so he pulled out his 9mm and shot the truck 9 times, hitting Jordan Davis and killing Jordan Davis with 2 shots. Okay. And, you know, as someone who carries a gun, someone who, you know, takes the responsibility of doing that very seriously, Michael Dunn comes across as one of those motherfuckers who just, to me personally, as a person who should not have been able to walk around with the gun on him. I mean, you know, everybody's not able to handle that type of responsibility. Everybody's not able to, you know, to show restraint when you have that type of responsibility on you. I mean, every time, like when I'm out and about and I'm carrying, it's heavy. Like you're thinking about it. I'm thinking about it the whole time that I have it when I'm walking around the streets, man. I'm thinking about it. And a lot of times it makes you want to just like leave. It makes you want to, you know, like just remove yourself from the situation, because shooting someone, for most folks who are carrying guns legally, is the last thing they want to do. The last thing you want to do. But again, I'm one of those people who wants to be prepared should anything go down. I don't want to be in a position to where I'm getting robbed, or me and my girlfriend are out and somebody accosts us or anything, or somebody attempts to rob us or whatnot, and I feel like there's nothing that I can do. I don't ever want to feel like I'm just a victim in anything. You know, I want to be able to at least have a fighting chance when I walk these streets or when I'm out and about or whatever. And so I take, you know, the responsibility of carrying a gun very seriously. And I think a person like a Michael Dunn, who from what I know of the story, man, he comes across as somebody who's just like, yo, I got this. And this is going to help me be a bigger person than I really am. You know, I guess that's about the best way I can put it. That this gun makes me a big, bad, strong motherfucker. And unfortunately, his big, bad, strong attitude has a young black male dead. And, you know, it's sad, man. That type of shit just kind of gets on my nerves. Because not only that, man, when you get motherfuckers like a Michael Dunn, man, it makes it harder for a nigga like myself. It makes it harder for everybody who just wants to protect themselves. Not necessarily somebody who wants to be out here shooting motherfuckers, and somebody who just wants to be out here on some reckless dumb shit. For everybody that wants to go out here and just be responsible with their shit, who wants to protect themselves, who wants to protect their families and everything else, it makes it harder for motherfuckers like me. You know, it makes it harder for us because, you know, every time, you know, something like this happens, well, you got some, well, we need to do this and we need to do X, Y, and Z in order to keep these guns out of these folks' hands and everything else, when it's like, yo, you kind of overstepping your bounds a bit. You know, what was that? Right after the Newtown shootings, when they were showing people's like homes, like, okay, these are the addresses of everybody who has registered firearms in their homes and things like that. People get the hysteria gets people doing a lot of extra shit. And so, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, they came to a conviction, especially, you know, in the aftermath of what happened with Trayvon Martin and everything. I'm glad they came to some type of convictions down there, because Florida was looking assed out, man. Florida looking real shady and fucked up, you know. So, Yeah, man, I did want to speak my piece on that, man. I'm glad that they came out with, you know, with 4 or 5 counts. He was guilty on 4 out of the 5 counts. I don't know if they caught a mistrial on the 5th count of murder or whatever, but yeah, man, Michael Dunn should be doing some time for taking the life of a young Jordan Davis, man. But yeah, I'm going to get out of here. So yeah, I've given you guys the contact info, but again, if you should ever need to get me at the Spam Report, go to I didn't even mention this shit. Go to thespamreport.com. Go to thespamreport.com. All of my videos are available on thespamreport.com. All of the podcasts are available on thespamreport.com. The video to this will be available on thespamreport.com. And of course, I'm going to put the podcast up on Stitcher, iTunes, Ustream. It's going to be on thespamreport.com. Last.fm. Just about anywhere you get your podcast from, The Spam Report is available there. So check me out at thespamreport.com, thespampodcast@gmail.com, the spam hotline at area code 313-288-0485, man. A lot of different ways to get at me, man. But yeah, I'm getting out of here. So until next time, y'all. Peace.